Yoga is actually the beautiful thing is, so we think of, well, think of when you first like processed yoga as a thought to your, to just you.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, those like stereotypical things, then even like sometimes even taking in the heat, we have these like weird pictures of what it is.
Yeah.
And yet like that uncertainty keeps us from getting there. And yoga is definitely much more than a physical practice.
That was Amanda Mendez, yogi extraordinaire, a badass, and an owner of Authentic Yoga Studio. In today's episode, Amanda and I discussed the disciplines of committing to yoga. Just show up and do it already. We'll also talk about grieving of a lost parent, the curiosities of life, and how sometimes life is a classroom in so many ways, and there are always new lessons to learn, no matter what the age. This is the Running Educator Podcast. Amanda Mendez, yes. Can you give us a little bit about your background? Give us a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and how you were able to start your new business. Well, it's not a new business. It's a couple years old, but your authentic, yoga studio.
That's a big summary right there. I mean, sum myself up. You got lots of deep twists, dark secrets and turns and.
Hey, this is a Zoom meeting. It can only go 40 minutes. So limit yourself. Yeah. No pressure.
Well, let's start even, I could go into a long, long, long version of myself and growing up and everything, but that's actually like the really clean version of me. I was the one that was like fortunate to have actually really great parents that set this amazing example, and I will totally turn it all over to my mother. And in fact, if she was alive, like she would have actually hear me say that my mother was right this entire time, and it's something I guess we never ever want to admit ever.
Nope.
She was actually my yoga before I even knew what yoga was, which is really funny because yoga is what actually helped me get through her passing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where like my journey I thought began.
Right.
Was showing up between the four corners of my mat and sweating and dying and making the magic happen right there in a physical practice.
Right.
And it did help me. It did help me make that magical. It did help have me find the discipline of just even showing back up to life.
Right.
Whether you put your mat, you have four corners to sit between, and you are breathing, you are moving, you are there. And even if you are showing up for your chaturangas and your push-ups, you're getting the mental aspect of it anyways.
Right.
So that's really what kind of like got me hooked into my physical practice is I was dealing with so many different life problems, and I was caring for my mom when she was terminally ill. I had a husband who was an addict, and I was trying to juggle a full-time work job, and it was a shit show, just kind of like those things you go into, and you think you were so lost in that shit show, and you were the only one going through it.
Right.
And I showed up, and I was breathing and moving, and then it just opens a much bigger door to it, like, I sweated, like, a lot. And you crawl out of that room some days thinking you're going to die and not even fully, like, understanding what's going on in your head, what's going on in your body. And yet there's this sense of, like, I need to come back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely did not understand that entire feeling at all for a very long time when I first started. But I knew there was something going on.
Right.
It was kind of my check out of my mandatory reality. I didn't have to worry about my mom or have to worry about what was going on at home and if people were safe and if bank accounts were being drained. And it was my space. I could breathe. I could show up. I could peel back all of the layers of all of those other hats I wore.
Right.
I wasn't the caretaker there. I wasn't the stepmom. I wasn't a wife. I wasn't an employee. I wasn't the person stressing out about life. I was just there to breathe.
You were Amanda, it sounds like. And I mean, that
was me.
Yeah. And that's crazy that you talk about that, because, you know, and I'm going to touch up on that really quick. Like, it's amazing how, you know, I kind of went, you know, I did the same thing with my mom, and I did my running and all that good stuff when my mom passed. And it's a different way of grieving. And I think it's a spiritual enlightenment. And it's amazing how you can get so, like, you're in that downward spiral, but it can keep just going down and down until you finally just pull your head out of your ass and figure out, I need to do something different. And so, you know, to me, I honestly thank my mom. You know, she's given me endless love, and she still gives me endless love. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate you, you know, sharing that vulnerability of you. Cause that was one of my questions, you know, what was the, I hate to say, make it sound bad, like, what was the best thing that you lost, you know, but
yeah,
I think that's the thing that gets people to think about what's better, more, you know, just like we were talking about those Mondays, like what are you so grateful for? So,
yeah, that's a huge thing. That is that whole thing. It's like, what are you so grateful letting go? Well, you get to peel back all of those things that we've, like, society's put on you, your parents, even as a kid, like growing up, think of all the things, like, eat this food. This is good for you. Yeah. You like this. Do this sport. This is great. You like this. Mm-hmm. But do we really like it?
Yeah.
We never get to actually sit in that, like, curiosity place, and maybe I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe today's a new day and I liked it yesterday, and it's okay that I don't like it now.
Yeah. Agreed. And I think it's a part of that too. For me, it was the creativity. You know, I got unschooled, uncreative because of the things that my parents, like you were saying. And I've come to this, especially just even stepping back to this pandemic, like, you know, we're with our families so much more than we want to be, right? But I've given so many grateful thanks because of, you know, these are times that we wouldn't necessarily have normally. So it's interesting to think that we're back, like, in the 1980s or 1990s, where we stay with our families, we didn't have all these electronics and, you know, all this good stuff. But you know, that's what it is. That's the it. And I think you know, what I'm hearing from you as far as, you know, the yoga portion, going back to that, like, that was just your spiritual awakening, and who, again, Amanda is. And that's the thing that I've just, like I said, your spirit and who you've always been as a person, has just always shined through when everybody was against you, or, you know, whatever was against you. You always rose up to the occasion. To say that you're a businesswoman, you know, is phenomenal. Just even going back to the couple, you know, moments we just had about, you know, yoga wasn't even practiced by women, just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, and now it's, I don't know, there's just badassery in that. And there's just ways of you leading the charge. And that's one of the things that, you know, like I said, coming from this podcast, I really wanted to inspire people to get the health they need, get the mental benefits, get the physical benefits of yoga and meditation, and how it helps people to get out of this dark age that we are. But then in the same essence, you'll be enlightened of what, you know, the gratefulness that we have just right in front of us on that mat, if you will. You know, I did my yoga this morning. It wasn't the greatest, but I did it, and you know, my back feels great, and here we are. So
I sit there and tell my students all the time, that is, like, that's actually the hard part of yoga, is showing up and letting yourself surrender to actually what the practice needs to be that day. Yep. Some days you're a struggle bus, like, and some days you're nailing it. Some days your curiosity takes the best of you and you can try new things. And some days we get stuck in that path of fear, and mm-hmm. there's, like, letting every day be a new day, like being okay with that, let go of that. We don't, like, there is no way you can plan for tomorrow, even if you plan for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because until tomorrow is here, it's
not. Yeah. And that's one of the things I was texting you. I was like, you know, I had that aha moment, like, okay, I know I'm not doing this good, but I had this brief second of like, okay, I did this with my hips. I moved my back and I felt like a great stretch that I'd never had. So it was an ADHD moment of just being stretching where I needed it. And it was just a split second, but that was the monumental moment for me to really get into that deep pose. And it was just enlightening. So
yeah. No, I love shares like that. Like when my students have that like kind of aha moment, because that's the thing. It's not like you're going to have, I think we're all waiting for this big, extraordinary, like revelation or evolution to happen. And it is definitely nothing like that. It is simply the aha. Every single thing that you have in your toolbox, you already have.
Yeah,
it's uncovering the stacks of boxes and where you pushed it back into the garage and like uncovering all the shit in front of it or on top of it to get into that toolbox.
Yep.
It's there. It just looks different sometimes.
Well, and that just goes back to like what I was just talking about with our parents and how, you know, what they taught us, we're unlearning to like, oh, that's what you meant. Oh, okay. You know, bonehead move right there. Yeah. So, you know, and that's the beauty of, you know, of yoga and meditation, especially for me, for meditation has been a great, you know, I think I'm on like 200 and some odd days straight of just every day morning and just, you know, just trying to get that mind straight, get those positive thoughts. And, you know, a person who, didn't want to be here, didn't, you know, at a time in my life, I was like, I'm done. I don't want to be here anymore. And really have those negative thoughts, but was able to get the right counseling, get the right people, stop drinking, you know, make those life moments and revitalize what is important to me. And so those are the things that just simply through a couple of poses here and there, or even meditation, has just revolutionized myself. So, it's been quite the journey and I look forward to it. So.
Well, hell yeah. Even kind of breaking off into that level of it, of your share, is like, let's start to get like real and honest about what it, like, it opens up. I mean, there's principles and everything we practice, and then we've gotten so bad as a culture about not talking about the human stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that was a pretty big share. Like, I didn't want to be here.
Right.
But the more you say that, the more it opens up doors. Cause I felt like that too.
Yeah.
I think that more people than we know about have felt like that. And if we would start dropping that, again, the stereotypes of everything, anxiety, depression, stress, all of that shit, we're adults.
Yep.
We live life. We've lived a life. And especially if we don't have like, or know that outlet of how to let things go, we do carry that stuff and it weighs on you. It's heavy.
Yeah.
And it's heavy to carry life around like that.
Well, and again, I'm touching back on what we've learned. You know, my parents, my dad, you know, just, you know, tough it out, walk it off, you know, no pain, no gain. And so we're not still giving the tools to, hey, when you feel like this, this is what you should do. Or, you know, if you're feeling very anxious, this meditation or this breathing technique can help you. And so that again, the overall essence of yoga in itself just does so much more than people really know. And I think going back to stereotypes, I mean, I know a lot of my friends and, you know, oh, I would never do a yoga. Oh, is that where all the hot chicks are? And it's like, you know, no, I'm not there for that. I'm there for my body.
Okay, which come into the hot room. You'll see, you will die.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not paying attention to the hot chicks.
Right. No, I'm too busy sweating on the pool of whatever. And, you know, I can't do a 90 minute. You know, I did it with my wife a couple times and, you know, I'll maybe get to 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And then the rest of it, I'm just like, I'm out. I'm done. Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to challenge you to wipe that perspective. So that's like even outside of yoga, like when I kind of took that big final jump into my studio, it was because of an extra training. You know, I'd been through many different yoga courses and teaching certifications and been practicing and teaching for a while, but coming into that new program. So I trained with Baron Baptiste, who is like a global world renowned yogi. Well, he doesn't say guru, but just a real life person that teaches from life principles. Mm-hmm. And it was starting to take the physical practice of yoga, all the postures and poses you do and sweat and move, and turn them into principles that you can take off the mat.
Yeah.
So it's realizing right there, why can't you do a 90-minute practice? You totally can.
I totally can. You can take breaks. Right.
You can take breaks. You can modification. Yeah. You can show up. Yep. You can show. You don't. Yeah. You don't have to be 110%.
Right.
Show up to life 70%.
That's the thing. Like, you know, going back to the American Westernization stuff. It's like we have to go full bore. We're America, you know, and it's like, I don't think, again, training how to get to that. So that's why, you know, when I had that conversation with you, like I'm in my own house at 5 a.m. and I feel, you know, secure. And when I can get a little more comfortable and knowing how to do it and what it looks like. And for me, it's really hard because I have bad hearing. So I can't, you know, they're walking around and I hear the fans and I'm like, where is she? And everybody's like, oh, I'm on the wrong pose. And so, you know, I would love to see something if they had something in the, you know, the room where, you know, the pose or slideshow or something so I can read what's going on. But nobody's done that yet. So maybe you could look into that. But anywho.
But let's check this out though too. Why has no one done that?
Maybe I don't know.
Maybe because the poses aren't important.
Well, sure. And I think you've touched on that to where, you know, I you go to a studio and you're just kind of like, you know, you can either be totally insecure or totally secure. And I don't think there's anything in between because it can be so intimidating and it can be, but once you get into it, that's what I've noticed. Like everything just goes away and it's just, it's amazing, you know, like that third eye opening up and just being able to really, you know, hone in on what you're trying to fix yourself. Mm-hmm. Cause like you said, you know, we have all the tools. We just got to figure out where the hell they're at. So, but you covered one topic there. I mean, one of your topics is, you know, going to the different styles and poses that you offer. What are the 3 or 4 major poses that you do at your studio and reasons of why, and what do you look to get out of it for your students?
I'm not necessarily sure if there's like certain poses. I teach a very just different style than what's offered around here. That was kind of not even to take away from any of the other styles around here. I was obviously trained through here and appreciate all of the paths that led me along the way. But I personally needed a little bit more of like that extra step. Like think in life when you just start getting like going through the motions. Mm-hmm. You wake up every single day and it's exact, like you get kind of that staleness and like you have that stuck static feeling. And that's kind of what I was even coming into my teaching. I needed more tools in my toolbox that I could take out to hand to my students.
Right.
And it just wasn't there. And this coming to the Baptiste methodology. So the first time I crawled onto my mat as in a Baptiste practice, there was something about that very first class that like came flooding back into my prime, that curiosity that what the hell is going on and why is this not easy again?
Right.
And it provided that different challenge. And and it was teaching again from a different methodology.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely takes life principles. You have, you know, your breathing, your ujjayi breath and your drishti gaze. But then he lives in that inquiry is that little extra step that Baron like adds into it. And it's be curious about what's happening right now.
Right.
And so sometimes it's a different class every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sometimes where you're holding a pose and you don't know how long you're going to be there.
Right.
And it's figuring it out along the way.
Right.
And that, you know, again, taking that principle of, oh, this is a shit show right now. I can't figure this out. I have to figure it all out. No, we figure it out along the way.
Right.
Like we really do. Yeah. Yourself that space and that pause and be there.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of like the teaching that I kind of do, it's not necessarily, you know, it's all focused on the process which, you know, obviously classes will be longer, but, you know, today's society is so much on the product and what can we do here now, now, fast now, you know, I want Prime now, you know, Amazon Prime now, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, you know, it's just been interesting to see different, you know, from the chakras to, you know, different type of yin and yang, which you kind of, you know, talked to me a little bit about, and that was great for an old man like myself and my lower back. But, I was just curious, you know, as far as the different difficulties that you have going into your yoga practice. I mean, I know you got your beginner, your intermediate, and advanced, but is like your inverted poses any advanced, or is I mean, can you elaborate a little bit more on that, getting into some technical stuff? So
when I very first opened and went out on my own, I did all of it. Like, I had the beginner's class on there. We had a flying 101, so we would do all the inversions and everything. And then obviously COVID hit and we kind of toned down the classes again. And it was really kind of touching back into every single practice, no matter what type of practice you're showing up to. Students should feel comfortable no matter what to be in their body, their modification. So sure. I really, sure. really encourage like the students to fully fledged show up. I had actually two older ladies walk into the studio yesterday, and they'd never done hot practice, and they had been stuck in their head. They could not do it how you need to.
Right.
Like modifications, we will modify whatever you need to. I mean, there's days I need modification. It's giving yourself that grace and that kind of just tenderness to like your physical body and your mental body too. Like that mental clarity of, do you need that struggle to fall out of your posture three times today? Because that doesn't always feel good. Right. That's a struggle bus. And sometimes that breaks you that day.
Yeah.
Some days you need a win in your book. And so maybe doing a posture at 40% rather than pushing it to 110 is where you need to be.
Yeah.
And so I really, really encourage just be a beginner, be brand new, be the most advanced yogi, just show up to your practice.
Yeah. No, there's truth in that. Cause that was one of my struggles, you know, going back to a year, like just committing. I was so uncommittal. I had all these wonderful goals and all these wonderful things I was going to do, but I didn't have the steps to get to it. And I've just noticed, like I said, in the 5 months, losing 20 plus pounds and just setting a weekly goal. All right, I'm going to run twice a week, and then just slowly upping it. And I think, again, going back to my epiphany in the yoga that I had the other day, and I was like, look, I did this for a second. But like, that was like the ultimate win. That was like the ultimate, like, feeling. And like, I think you have some definitely sanity into that, because just that one little brief second can just, that was my shield for any bullshit that came my way. I was like, nope, not today. Nope. Yep. Not from you. Nope.
Did you see the yoga pose I did today? Hell
yeah. Exactly.
That's awesome.
And so those are
we need to check into those wins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think a lot of people in any sport, any activity look at it that way. They're like, oh, you know, and I try to teach some of my kids, my at-risk kids, and they're just like, oh, it looks stupid. It's like, well, you got to start somewhere, right? But, you know, there's just no confidence in it. And it's just interesting how they say it's so easy, but yet it's like the most difficult thing in the entire world to do. And I keep going back to it. It's a practice, just like shooting free throws, just like reading and writing, and even doing math. You have to practice at it. And if you don't, you're just gonna not, you know, it's not gonna get better.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, and it's holding that space open.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
inverted poses.
I've seen a lot of these, especially
your next step in life.
Yeah. Well, no, I, you know, it's really funny because
I want to hear the excuse.
Oh, well, so I took the, oh my goodness. Who is the yoga lady that was on Rose Hill? Do you remember her name? I remember her first name was Roberta or something like that, but it was like Bingham, maybe. No, I don't think it was Bingham. It was one yoga, and this is like in the '90s, right? I took it for a class for my degree. And yeah. And so, you know, we go up there and we would do the towels, and she'd show us some stuff, and we were like full on like yogi. And it was like, oh, it was just so uncomfortable and kind of awkward at the same time. I was just like, what am I doing? And, I mean, she's a great lady, and she gave us plenty of resources, but, It was abusive. So anywho, but she did show us some inverted stuff, like the rope tying stuff from hang down, and you know, it was just like, oh boy, this is a little advanced, but I need your input. I
totally remember that studio. I actually taught a kid's workshop after she sold it and my friend bought it.
Oh, really?
But they were an Inniger's studio, a complete different style. That's why you kind of had that pegboard looking thing where you could hook your ropes up. And that's the other funny thing about yoga. We have one picture idea of what yoga is. There are so many different types of yoga.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways to do poses that you wouldn't even believe. Like some poses are integrated and you're really working them, and you can take that same pose and relax your body and you're doing something completely different. Huh. So finding your type of practice is also a very important thing, because that is the discipline. If you don't want to show up to it, like enough to where you like hate showing up to it, are you going to show up to it?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and but, like I said, it was enlightening. Don't get me wrong. I wanted to kind of see how it was, and I wanted to take the practice that, you know, I'm a very, at that point in my time in my life, like, all right, this could be a good thing, but I'm doing this for my students. And it wasn't, you know, I think in the educational setting, yoga is completely different to what you would do in, you know, your studio. But that, you know, like you said, there's so many different variations to what you're doing. And I can totally contest to the, you know, you do one little yoga pose, you move just a different, you know, style or activate a different muscle. All of a sudden it's like, oh, I just did something different. So which that goes back to those aha moments.
What the heck is going on?
Exactly. So, but this brings me back to one of my, you know, questions to you would be, you know, what is the hardest pose that you've ever done or ever seen? And how long did it take to get there?
So here's the thing though. If we stay open to yoga as a constant practice, I don't think I've necessarily, oh, I know I will never arrive to any posture, because right when you think you get a posture, there is something else to add to it. There's a twist, there's a modification, there's an advancement. Of course, we all love the inversions because it's scary to try to most of us. So when we see people upside down, you're like, that must be so hard.
Right.
Those sometimes are not all, like, I know people who can get upside down like no other, mm-hmm. yet they can't do a forward fold to save their lives.
Oh, man.
So sometimes someone else's like stub toe is someone else's like cut off finger. Mm-hmm. It is just a balance of working in your body. Right. I love getting upside down. It is a challenge. It is a flip of perception, mm-hmm. to where you have to then figure out your space differently. And everyone's so in a rush to kick your legs up. And then you go usually tumbling down and you're like, this felt so much easier when I was a little kid. It hurts now. But it's having that patience for yourself. You still have to build that posture from the ground down or right. from the ground up.
Right.
But now when you're used to building from the ground up, you're used to starting with your feet.
Right.
You still have to build it from the ground up, but now you're starting with your hands, your arms, your head, and that is flipped your world.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. No, seriously. No. And that's one of the things that's just been, you know, I know a lot of people try to go out and do those and not necessarily get injured, but they can get, you know, silly injuries if you ask me, but it's all based on that practice of what goes into it. And like you said, and that's the beauty of this whole activity of the sport is, you know, being able to develop yourself. And that, you know, if you're doing a warrior one pose, making sure your feet are properly spaced properly and, yeah. you know, all the little things that go into it. And that's the hardest thing I would probably say for my practice would be those are the details that I need to pay attention more to. And I'm discovering as I do more of it. So, it's interesting to learn. So, but let's move into your business part. And you've talked a little bit about, you know, what COVID has kind of done as far as your business, but, what creative ways have you done differently in your practice? What have you, you know, taken more, you know, sanitation, you know, what explain like what you were first day and how everything went and like, what are we going to do? What's our game plan?
Well, it's again, that foreshadowing of life. It's almost like I'm prepared to deal with this. From caretaking for my mom for 2 years, we were in the hospital constantly, especially that last like 6 months, every single day we were in the hospital. And I was keeping her in this little bubble of her masks and keeping everything scrubbed down and cleaned. And my mom's always worked in the hospital anyways. Mm-hmm. So that part of it was just kind of like secondhand nature. I got mm-hmm. yelled at when I didn't freaking wash my hands. I wash my hands. I cover my mouth. My mother taught me manners. But luckily, the good thing is that in a yoga studio, you don't touch much things.
Right.
And you're actually on your mat. So when it came down to especially separating us from the gyms and a yoga studio, there was a huge difference. We walk in, you set up your mat, you stay on your mat for that entire practice.
Mm-hmm.
You grab your shit, you walk out. So luckily that makes it a lot easier for me as a business owner. During this time, I have watched many business owners spend a lot of extra money, extra mm-hmm. staff, extra cleaning that they can't even afford to stay open.
Right.
Yet in order to stay open to continue, they have to do it. So I've been barely grateful for that small little part that we are kind of small like that. And the cleaning is something that we just did anyways. We mm-hmm. just take extra time doing now. So
okay,
that's always been nice. We did evolve. So part of my actually business plan for 2020 was moving towards a visual studio. So having that virtual studio online with us as well.
Oh, cool.
So it was kind of already set up in the plan and the mm-hmm. works just got moved to the very top of that priority list as we started to see what the hell is going.
Right.
But also why I never had to skip a beat. We never missed a class because I was already live streaming before mm-hmm. we ever shut down.
Oh, wow.
So, which was a nice thing for the students. I had students who had been starting to stay home anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't want them to miss out on their practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like top of my priority. How do I keep people moving and breathing?
Okay.
And so we kind of let it evolve from there.
Is that a thing to where, you know, you have your stream and then do they buy like, you know, 5 passes or through Venmo or something on your website that you can just channel through?
So I did it really easy. So most of our classes will here in the future, pretty soon will all be virtual and we'll have an option for a virtual membership too. Oh, so wow. Somebody way across the world could tune in and pay $20 a month and they could show up to live classes.
Oh, wow.
And you actually just kind of like the Zoom stuff, you have that opportunity to share your screen.
Mm-hmm.
So there were many times I would bring, you know, a handful of students into the studio for examples, mm-hmm. but I literally would be in front of that computer screen teaching to all of my students. I could still tell you, hey, Mike, sit a little bit lower in your chair pose, you know, that type of thing. And like keep everybody involved.
Right.
Really, it honestly helped with that community like atmosphere too. How disconnected did you feel when that shit happened? Like when life just exploded like that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely changed perceptions of where we're at. Like you're talking about the intimacy of what you're going through in your practice or where you're at. Like, I mean, you know, my wife and I had, you know, 17 years celebrated on Saturday, and it was like the most non-intimate deal because we couldn't go anywhere. We just had to sit there and look at each other. Oh no, it was great. We had a great time and whatnot. But you know, but I agree with you. It like I said in the beginning of this show, it was kind of like, we have forgotten what intimacy is, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with relationships, but just in what you do in your daily practice. Yeah. So focus on that and the good things will come.
That connection is huge.
Yeah.
And that's actually what the bigger picture of yoga incorporates, is that community and that unity, not only within self, the unity of your mind, the unity of your breath, the unity of your body, but like the unity of human connection.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to connect to somebody when, like, you're in that space and you're both open to being in that space. It's not a scary space to come into, but that connection is important.
And to, you know, say thank you very much, Amanda Mendez, you know, Authentic Yoga Studio. You know, check out her live streams on her, you know, classes. And Amanda, again, it's great to catch up with you. I thank you for your insight, your passion, your intimacy of your love of yoga. You know, I appreciate you sharing the meditation, the benefits, obviously, of what we can get from yoga, and you know, being on the Running Educator podcast. So who would have thought, episode 8, here we go. So
I love it. I'm proud of you for stepping up and taking, like, that bigger picture. Like, it takes a lot for a human to do that. And like I said, even through the Baptiste methodology, that's what we actually grow to inspire, is you have all the tools within you. Mm-hmm. Start uncovering what's underneath there to create that bigger picture. So I appreciate what you're doing.
Now for the book portion of this podcast, I wanted to talk about James Clear, Atomic Habits, particularly chapter 11, Walk Slowly, But Never Backwards. Habits are formed based on frequency, not time. Much like Amanda was talking about in her practice of yoga, it's not just necessarily the poses that you're really perfecting, it's the commitment to join in the yoga practice. James Clear also stated the most effective form of learning is practice, not the planning. And as Amanda and I discussed in the podcast earlier, is that, you know, you're working on a pose or you're working something in life and you find out that aha moment during that practice. So keep going at it, keep working at it, and eventually you'll find what your form and practice is. And finally, the third point of chapter 11 I want you to take away from is the aim for action and not the motion. During my yoga practice, running, or even my family time, my actions talk louder than words, as my wife would say. You know, commit to what you're going to do. Say what you're going to do. If you are going to get up at 5 a.m. to do yoga, then commit to it. The motion will get easier over time, which, it's ironically, it circles back around to the frequency of the practice. Practice makes permanent. I want to thank Amanda Mendez from Authentic Yoga Studio for joining us today on the Running Educator podcast. You can check her studio online at AuthenticYogaStudio.com. Make sure you check out those online courses. As well, you can follow her on Instagram. Look up Badass Yogi for Life. I will have a link for today's episode in the description of the show with all the resources located on my Tumblr blog. I want to thank you all for listening to the Running Educator podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share. And I appreciate all that you do, and I hope you have a wonderful day.